This program is about people who make music using old computers, specifically the ZX Spectrum, a cheap home computer released in 1982. Primitive, obsolete technology. So why do they do it?
I don't know, really.
There's definitely an element of showing off.
Why are we doing it?
I don't know, to be honest.
Just heard nothing like it before.
I want to know what the beep sounded like.
People pick up on that particular sound.
Burnt out part of my brain. It's ridiculous, really.
Modern machines, the Wi-Fi surround sound, and genuine chart hits form the soundtrack of many modern video games. So what's the attraction of such archaic technology? Let's meet one of these people.
I'm Matt Westcott, and I go by the nickname of Gasman, and I write music on the Sinclair Spectrum. It is very much a mixture of the technology and then the more artistic side. The whole scene these days comes out of the demo scene. That's something that grew up mainly in continental Europe. It's sort of like a semi-secret society, which is artists, programmers, musicians get together and they sort of make a program that just looks cool, sounds cool, and doesn't actually sort of do very much in itself. It is just a sort of standalone piece of art. The vast majority of activity is in Europe, continental Europe, and Finland in particular for some reason. I'm in a band, the AY Riders. The AY is the sound chip in the Spectrum. There's 6 or 7 of us now, I lose count, and from all around Europe, and yeah, we've released 3 albums now, and it's really been quite a success. Actually, probably the best example of that was the AY Riders concert that happened. I was in Warsaw last year, and that was just a regular nightclub that people just turned up at, and we had this, well, retro night for this time, and we all played our tracks straight from the Spectrums, and it was quite amazing to see the reactions, really. It was people who were really too young to have grown up with the Spectrum, who just heard nothing like it before, right up to sort of the old-timers who sort of got a real nostalgia hit out of it. Yeah, so that was a real eye-opener. one thing that sort of attracts people is trying to seeing if they can sort of program under certain limitations. It's quite unusual to sort of have these melody of a song played out just in the sort of very basic square waves. Well, I do get some inspiration from all sorts of places, really, but Tim Follin, I guess, is the main one. He was the one really famous musician on the spectrum, I think.
Indeed, much of the pioneering work in this strain of electronica was done in commercial video game soundtracks. Back in those days, the chance to hear where your computer's noise output could be taken was a major selling point for many games, with Tim Follin being one of the major attractions.
My name's Tim Follin, and I write music for computer games. Brother Mike is a programmer, used to be a programmer, and I sort of had a tinker with his Spectrum, you know, the ZX Spectrum, and I remember playing with it when I was sort of, whatever, age 14, 15, tinkering around, what some 14, 15-year-olds do, I suppose, and I remember having a go with machine code and writing a little program that made a sort of phasey sound on the Spectrum. Which was sort of pretty hard to do because the Spectrum basically just beeped, and I think, you know, you could make the speaker turn on and off, that's all you could do basically. So if a beep was just turning it on and off very quickly at a certain frequency, and so I managed to make it do it sort of by a bit of, you know, trickery coding sort of thing, made it do a phase sound, and that was it. Sort of interested in making sounds on it. I was just sort of, I think I remember being sort of quite interested in synthesizer type things at that time, you know. I sort of wanted to sort of, I could never afford a decent synthesizer, you know, being 15, obviously, you know. My mum wasn't too happy about buying me one, so I was just sort of, I think I just thought, this is quite good because I can make sounds using the computer, so that's how that started. I kind of learned the code just to achieve that end, really, you know, just to sort of make the computer make sounds, you know.
So where did Tim get his inspiration from? Was he inspired by the early rumblings of the 80s house and techno pioneers?
To me, the techno thing and the whole sort of synthesized music thing was a kind of bad for me. It was sort of, you know, that's a nice sound, but I didn't really class it as music, to be honest. You know what I mean? Music for me was you know, the sort of stuff I'd been listening to growing up, listening to, you know, that was sort of harmonic, you know, all these 70s prog rock bands like Rush, mainly, actually, which wasn't a 70s prog rock band, but, you know, it was a 70s band. And then I think things like Genesis and Yes and people like this, you know, incredibly you know, prog rock, you know, early prog rock sort of stuff. Yeah. And I just grew up listening to all that stuff, so I sort of more, I suppose, closer to something that's you'd describe as, you know, tuneful, you know, melodic and harmonic sort of thing, rather than sort of purely, you know, synthesized for the sake of synthesis, you know, which is, I think, a lot of the music at that time was like, you know, it was kind of musically pretty empty, really. It was just kind of interesting sounds, you know.
Thank you. That was Tim's Spectrum version of the music for the classic arcade game Bubble Bobble. Is there a big difference between music for computer games and ordinary music?
You're limited by the things like the fact that the tune has to loop and the fact that it, I did the music for the first Starting Nuts game, and that was, I was told by the producer basically this has to be driving music, so it has to be a certain tempo, it can't really be dropped below, whatever the BPM it was. It has to be more or less constant, one thing with the Starsky music is I was told to do funk music at a sort of speed that just didn't suit funk. I mean, funk is sort of by definition at a certain speed, it's quite slow sort of thing. So I ended up trying to do some sort of hybrid, 70s chase music sort of thing, but all the tunes more or less ended up sounding the same because, within such a narrow sort of set of limits, that's all you can do. So, yeah, I mean, it's inventive, that's the thing about it, I suppose. It's not stuff that you would necessarily invent, given your own motivation, but it's within the criteria you're given to do it, you'd be inventive within that, so that's where the kind of interest lies,
Here's some more funky Skill of Specky music for you. This is from classic budget game Agent X. That's Tim Follin, one of the original geniuses of ZX Spectrum music. Earlier in the programme, we heard from a member of the AY Riders, a collective of people who grew up with the technology and worked within the underground demo scene. But some people come from a different angle, like the ZX Spectrum Orchestra.
I'm Mike Johnston, and I'm a civil servant. I'm also a member of the ZX Spectrum Orchestra.
And he's also, as his own act, Mike in Mono as well. I'm Brian Duffy, I'm an artist, and one of the projects I do is the ZX Spectrum Orchestra.
It's basically an orchestra of spectrums. We're really the conductors, and they are the body of the orchestra, the machines, that is.
Yeah, we first started because we'd been going to lots of car boots and seeing these beautifully designed computers and wondering about them, and I bought a manual for them, a 10p, and read it, and inside it said there is the beep command, and my imagination was taken by the notion of beep, and I wanted to know what the beep sounded like. And was asking around and was talking to Mike about, do you think it's possible that these computers can make music? And he said, yes, it definitely is, and it turned out that he had one in the 80s. So we concocted this idea of maybe it's possible to have multiple spectrums on stage, and started pursuing that. And only when we were booked to do our first gig did we realise what an absolute nightmare it is. It's like having a gang of naughty school children on stage that could just do anything they want to do at any moment sometimes. So it's not like using modern technology at all.
Thank you.
basically you're just dealing with something that's either on or off, so it's a really blank canvas.
And when I first started programming, as I say, we came up with the idea and I didn't know anything about them, and I'd never programmed at all. I didn't know anything about the protocols, and Mike was helping me and telling me how to put the syntax of code together. And I spent many, many late nights staying up all night trying to get things to work that just weren't working. I just hadn't got the language in my head. I couldn't understand it. And no matter what I did, I just couldn't get a program to work. I kept writing these programs, they wouldn't work, and I wouldn't know why. And then late one night, I was spent ages programming this particular program, and fell asleep with my face against the television screen, and woke up in the morning, you know, with a drool over the screen, and looked at the screen and completely understood what was wrong with the program. And it was as if the kind of electron tunneling effect cannon of the television had burnt out part of my brain that was in the way of understanding the code. And after that, I just understood BASIC and it was fine. I could program it. The way it works live is that you can't sync the spectrums together. So that's one of the big differences between using spectrums and modern equipment that has MIDI and can communicate. Most musical instruments nowadays can communicate with each other, so they can keep in time with each other. Whereas the spectrums, you can't do that. You have to just rely on the maths of it. A lot of ZX programmers attempt to program everything into one machine. The drums, the melodies, everything. We tend to divide it between several machines and not worry about the fact that they don't sync.
We also have one machine just dedicated to the Wham drum machine. The band Wham sponsored this piece of software in the 80s. A couple of tracks actually have the drums coming from that, which are programmed as a sequencer using that software. And then another machine which is dedicated to the Kerr MicroSpeech, which is a speech synthesizer built in the day, which is just really idiosyncratic. Like, it's great, it's got a great sound to it, and full of imperfections, which are nice to listen to in this day and age.
And the speech synth is designed that when you turn it on, when you press the keyboard, it says the letters that are on the keyboards, but it will also say the code commands above the keyboard. So it'll say A, B, C, D, but it will say things like randomise user or various commands. So the one track that we use it for live is it's the kind of hidden poetry embedded in the speech synth. So we're not writing, we're only using the available words of the code language. So you can then use it to make various sentences. Like a classic one would be U, R, A, V, I, P, only using the letters. So we utilise this hidden poetry, and in it it says stop, stop, dollar power, dollar pound, percent, and so we use that live. We'll be right back.
23 years on, and fans keep the Spectrum beeping. What does the future hold?
We haven't finished exploring the Spectrum yet. It's what we're really interested in doing, is mining the surplus value, the kind of hidden potential of those machines, and they naturally lean you towards different solutions in music, and it's those that we're really interested in the long term, rather than using them to imitate, other ways of making music.
And what about Gasman? Does he feel there's a limit to the ZX Spectrum scene?
You feel like you're sort of reaching the limits, but then I do find myself constantly surprised by the sort of new effects and new sound that you can get out of it. So yeah, I'm still pushing the boundaries today.